Have you ever felt desperately discouraged? Maybe your relationship with your husband or your wife or parent or child or your best friend is slowly falling apart and you feel deeply depressed like you've lost a loved one. Maybe the consequences of your past sin are so overwhelming that it feels like you will never be forgiven. Your guilt is ever before you, and it feels like God is distant. You feel lost. You wonder if you are even saved. There are times when I feel alone, depressed, and despondent, mostly because of my own sin, or sin that others commit against me. Sometimes I just feel overwhelmed by all the conflict and misunderstanding around us. Or the way you planned things or expected it to work out did not turn out as you expected. Your great expectations ended up in tears. You planned a romantic dinner with your wife or your girlfriend, and it ended up in a stole-walling contest, still staper. Or that ice, you get that ice-cold shoulder. Or your business ideas didn't work out as envisioned. Your relationships are not flourishing as you hoped. Your finances are not working out as expected. Or your crypto or share balances are diving right into the abyss. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and you are downstruck by the sad reality of death. Truly, we all go through the ups and downs of life. Life is real. How do you handle despondency? How do you handle the sadness caused by broken relationships? How do you handle disappointments? How do we handle all the hate and anger of this world? I mean, we see it all around us. Harsh words, racist remarks, fighting, jealousy, bitterness, abuse, rape, murder, and war are familiar topics to us. It happens on our doorsteps, to our neighbors, in our families. We see these things day after day, all over again and again on social media and the news. Is there anything sure amidst all the uncertainty of this world? Yes. Is there anything secure in this insecure world? Yes, there is. Is there anything good in this hate-filled world? Yes, there is. Is there anything true in this world filled with lies? Yes, there is. Is there any solid ground in the sea of storms? Yes, there is. Let us look for the answer in Psalm 86. Please page with me. And this is a beautiful prayer of David. And it's actually a beautiful, desperate plea where he expresses also his trust in the Lord. So when we read the psalm, let us pray and plead with David as we read through the psalm as a personal prayer. I call you up. Pray this prayer for yourself as we go through it. Verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. And then verse 15, and this is our key verse, the answer that we are looking for. Listen, spitjule ore hierso. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame because of you, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Thus for the reading of God's word. And you can keep your finger right in there. But right here in Psalm 86, we find the certainty in the midst of all the uncertainties. We find security in the midst of all the insecurities. We find the truth between all the lies of Satan, and we find solid ground in the midst of a raging sea. And that is what I want us to understand this morning. And we find this in the following words: God's steadfast love. God's steadfast love. Look at verse 5 and 13 and 15 again. Let's read it. Verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Verse 13. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. And then verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Verse 15 specifically is a truth repeated right through the Old Testament. We read in Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him, that is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Joel 2, verse 13, he wrote, and rend your hearts and not your garments, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. I've been working through the Psalms for a while now and learned that David was a person just like us, like you and me. And sometimes he was extremely happy, and his praise and worship led up to loud singing and dancing. Other times he was despondent and grieved over his sin or loved ones who despised him, and he cried and pleaded with God. His sorrows kept him awake at night, just like us. And as I went through the Psalms over and over, all through the ups and downs with David's longing soul, I found that there is one constant, solid truth coming up: God's steadfast love. You can read through the Psalms. You will find it there, everywhere in the Psalms. God's steadfast love. Isn't this comforting to our souls? And I was struck by this word because I couldn't understand the meaning of steadfast love. What is steadfast love? I looked at other translations, and some spoke about God's loving kindness. Others are translated as God's mercy or faithfulness. And the more I studied this word, the more intrigued I got by it. In almost every lowest low of David, he ended up standing on this solid ground, God's steadfast love. And that is why today I'm going to preach about God's steadfast love. And you will hear this over and over, and maybe it will stuck in your minds to remember and to use as an anchor. This is our solid ground. This is our safety buoy, our anchor, our default as Christians. When you're lost in the desert or at sea and you have a compass, the compass also always shows you where is north. God's steadfast love is our true north. If you feel lost or alone or empty this morning, hold on to this north arrow, God's steadfast love. Let us unpack his steadfast love by asking a couple of questions. So this is not today a verse-by-verse expository sermon. It's rather topical. So please keep your fingers ready for some Bible reading. The first question is this. What is the meaning of the word steadfast love? The meaning of this word. And it will help us to understand if we go to the original Hebrew word. And here it becomes really interesting because we only find one word, the word chesed. H-E-S-E-D, pronounced as chesed. It doesn't speak about God's chesed love. It only speaks of God's chesed. And amazingly, the word chesed appears about 250 times in the Old Testament, with 128 occurrences in the Psalms alone. Surely then, we should take note of this word. Most scholars agree that chesed is a uniquely Hebrew term and one of the most challenging words to translate. In fact, it has been rendered into almost 80 different English words, with the most common translations including love, kindness, loving kindness, steadfast love, faithful love, loyalty, favor, mercy, beauty, righteousness, devotion, faithfulness, gracious covenant, covenant loyalty, grace, goodness, loving instruction, and covenant friendship. There is no exact English equivalent for the word chesed. If you consult a lexicon for this word, you will find the description no ane cognates, which means that there are no words in a language that share a common linguistic origin with this word. Is this a problem for us? No. It just confirms that the fact It confirms the fact that God's love is indescribable. God's chesed confirms the depth of his love. God's love cannot be measured or described by words because it is part of who God is. It is his character. God is characterized by his chesed. God is chesed. The three most used translations for chesed in our Bibles are steadfast love, loving kindness, or mercy. All of these words have an aspect of loyalty or faithfulness in that love. Chesed is related to the biblical concept of a covenant relationship and to the idea of grace, in that chesed was and is extended by God when it was not deserved. In truth, chesed is never deserved. God's chesed is his persistent, unconditional tenderness, kindness, and mercy, a relationship in which God seeks after man with love and mercy. His mercy is more, that song that we've sung. God revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6, and he proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in chesed. This is what God says about himself, abounding in chesed. This is what chesed is. God's chesed or steadfast love is an undeserved, loyal, covenantal kind of love from God, showing his loving kindness to all through his mercy. Listen to verse 5 again. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love. And listen to this. Please listen to all who call upon you. God is open for calls right now. God's steadfast love is for all who call upon him. Why? Because he is love. He invites you to call on him. Love is his character, and through the Old Testament we find numerous examples of God's chesed. And this brings me to a second question. Are there examples of God's chesed in the Old Testament? Yes. We find his chesed in jail with Joseph after being falsely accused of seducing Potiphar's wife. In Genesis 39, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him chesed and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. We also find it in the Song of Moses after they crossed the Red Sea in Exodus 15, verse 13. You have led in your chesed the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. We find God's chesed in Hosea's marriage to a prostitute, which becomes a powerful symbol to his people. Through Hosea's life, God conveys that he will relate to his people as a faithful and loving husband to his wife, even when they are unfaithful. Though they stray in both heart and action, God's love remains unwavering. Hosea gave voice to this enduring love, speaking on God's behalf to his people, when he wrote in Hosea 2, verse 19, and I will betroth you to me forever, speaking about Israel. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in chesed and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Joel makes a call to Israel in Joel 2, verse 13, when he wrote, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in chesed, and he relents over disaster. So there are many, many examples of God's chesed love to his people in the Old Testament. Think about the many instances where God had mercy over Israel. Countless. Think about the many times that Israel repented of their sins and God restoring them back to glory. King after king and prophet after prophet displayed God's chesed. Think about the many instances in your own life when God revealed his chesed to you. I can think of many instances when I had close calls with death, where I saw miracles in my life, undeserved, even when I was still living in sin and in darkness. I could have died when I was still living in sin. In those evenings when I was drunk and driving, but God reached out to me because of his chesed. He saved me. And this leads me to a third question. What about chesed in the Psalms? With 128 instances of chesed, one should take note of it. Amen? And as I said earlier, working through the Psalms led me to know there's one solid underlying truth we can stand upon. No matter what our circumstances or trials are, God's chesed. In Psalm 6, verse 4, we read, turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your chesed. In this lament of David, he is pleading with God to deliver him. He is suffering through sleepless nights and deep sorrow. And he ends the psalm with confidence that God will act, grounded upon his chesed. Remember, when you are suffering through sleepless nights and sorrow, it is during those nights when you can turn to God in prayer and trust in his chesed. In Psalm 13 verse 5, we read, "But I have trusted in your chesed. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And this psalm opens with the words, "How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever?" And David asks for God to consider and answer him. And again he closes the psalm, trusting in God's steadfast love and salvation. Psalm 25, verse 6 to 7, we read, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your chesed, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, according to your chesed. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." Isn't this just comforting to know that this is our God? Again, David calls on God's covenant love. In Psalm 26, verse 3, we read, "For your chesed is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." Have you ever taken a moment to reflect on the countless ways God reveals his steadfast love to you? Just think about it. Maybe it's time that we should make time to reflect on how God loves us. The fact that you have food on your table, driving your car, playing with your children, and even breathe the next breath is because of God's chesed. In fact, God's chesed love is displayed to all people, even non-believers, for he let his rain fall on everyone. He allows them all to take the next breath, to walk the next step, even when they rebel against God or live in gross sin, even when they curse him, he still extends his chesed by allowing them to live. Amen? Because he is waiting for them to call on him. In Psalm 36, verse 5, we read, "Your chesed, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." And in verse 7, we read, "How precious is your chesed, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." God's chesed love is so big, so beyond what we can fathom. It extends to the heavens, to the clouds, and yet it is also personal, and it is precious because you can take refuge in it. So while this is a big concept, it's also very near and accessible. In Psalm 63, verse 3, we read, "Because your chesed is better than life, my lips will praise you." David values God's steadfast love so highly that it is more valuable to him than his own life. In Psalm 118, we find this refrain over and over throughout the psalm. Quote, "For his chesed endures forever." And then Psalm 136, and I just want us to go there quickly. Psalm 136, let's read that together. Not going to read the whole psalm, but you can read it every morning if you want to, just to be reminded of God's steadfast love. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord for his good." And let us say this together. For his steadfast love endures forever. Then there is a call again. Give thanks to the God of gods, everyone. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so we can go on and on and on and on. And this is the prayer that we should pray every morning. His steadfast love is there forever and ever. So after reading through all of these scriptures, now I'm sure that you are sure God's chesed love endures forever. It is evident right through the Old Testament and weaves its way through the generations since creation. It is part of who God is. God's chesed love is like that north arrow on a compass. When you feel lost and you don't know where to go, follow the direction of your north arrow. You might be in the middle of the desert now, and you don't know where you are, but the north arrow is always right. God's chesed is always there. Maybe you're in the middle of a trial right now. You struggle with cancer, or you are in a financial crisis. Remember, God's chesed is right there. His chesed endures forever. Pray like David did and ask God for his mercy and grace to deal with this trial. Pray like David in Psalm 86, verse 3, 4, and 5. Let's read that together. Psalm 86 from verse 3. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Remember God's steadfast love in those times when you feel despondent and depressed, or you don't know where to go. Open the Bible then in Psalm 86 or Psalm 136 and read aloud, for his steadfast love endures forever. But there is even more. What about God's chesed in the New Testament? Do we find it here as well? And this brings me to a fourth question. Do we find God's chesed in the New Testament? The answer is that we do not find the word chesed in the New Testament. And I wrestled with this question. Why wouldn't the writers, many of whom were Jewish and well acquainted with the rich meaning of chesed, choose a precise translation that fully conveys its depth? In most instances where God's chesed is referenced in the New Testament, it is translated as agape. Did chesed get lost in translation, as some scholars are saying? I don't think so. I believe that chesed didn't get lost in translation. It rather got fulfilled in translation. God's chesed was fulfilled through God's agape. What I'm trying to explain is this. God's chesed was fulfilled in the sacrificial love of the Lamb on the cross. The word agape is a Greek word that refers to unconditional, selfless, and sacrificial love. And this is amazing. God's ultimate covenantal chesed love was fulfilled in Christ on the cross with blood and nails through his hands. Let's go to 1 John 4 to look at the New Testament. And I read from verse 9, 1 John 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The ultimate chesed, the climax of God's chesed, was completely fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to know complete chesed love, then look at Christ. There you will find it. Also verse 7. Let's read from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sons, of our sins. Brothers and sisters, the truth we learn this morning, a truth that is sure, is this: God's love is comprehensive and complete. God is love. How do we know this for sure? It was made manifest among us in Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you doubt in any way that God loves you, this morning, look at Jesus on the cross. If you doubt his love, look at Jesus on the cross, dying for your sins in your place, taking the punishment for your sins that you deserve. John wrote in John 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I think you will forgive me if I say, and the chesed became flesh. The Word, God's love, became flesh and dwelt among us. Also verse 16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Also remember John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 verse 2, but God, and I'm so thankful that there are so many buts in the scriptures. If it was not for a but, we would have all ended up in hell. But God, being rich in mercy, and I think we've read it in our time of singing as well, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. MacArthur wrote this about Ephesians 2 verse 4, quote, God's mercy is rich, overabounding, without measure, unlimited. The problem with reconciliation is not on the Lord's side. The two words, but God, show where the initiative was in providing the power of salvation. His great desire is to be rejoined with the creatures he made in his own image, and for his own glory. You see, God wants the broken relationship to be restored. He wrote further, and I quote again, God is intrinsically kind, merciful, and loving. And in his great love, he reaches out to vile, sinful, rebellious, depraved, and condemned human beings and offers them salvation and all the eternal blessings it brings. This is chesed. And like Brother Robbie told me, He said, it is gesed. Ek het gesê. If a man were driving down the street and carelessly ran over and killed someone's child, he would be arrested and sentenced to jail for manslaughter. Once he has served his sentence, he would be free and legally guiltless, having paid for his crime. However, serving his punishment would not bring back the child or heal the parents' grief. The wrong done to them is much deeper than a legal offense. The only way a relationship between them could be established or restored is if the parents choose to offer forgiveness. No matter how much the man does or pays to make amends, he cannot create reconciliation on his own. Only the offended party can offer forgiveness, and only forgiveness can bring true reconciliation. We were this man, and as offended God, we deserve to be punished, to die for our sins. Because Romans 3 teaches, for all who have sinned. But Jesus offered this kind of forgiveness to those who crucified him when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you ever doubted God's love for you, then just look at the Lamb on the cross, bleeding for you. Have you found his forgiveness and his love? If not, know then that God offers forgiveness of sin for those who believe. God offers his great chesed love to you this morning. What are you going to do with it? There's a last question. How do we apply this knowledge in our lives? How does God's chesed apply to us, to you? First, it should cause us to be extremely thankful and to worship God. A lot of psalms were written to praise God for his chesed love. Like David, this comprehensive love of God should cause us to unashamedly praise him for his love. To sing songs about it, to tell others about it, to share the good news of God's love to others. Do you share God's love? Not only through words, but through your deeds. Many times, praise for God's love is the solution of our feelings of despair. Second, how are you doing in showing love? Do you love your neighbor? Does your neighbor know God's love through your love? Or do you turn your techno up when his Vivaldi is too loud? Or maybe the other way around. Men, do you love your wives as Christ loves his church sacrificially? Or do you throw your toys out of the cot when she asks for help or need your advice? I'm afraid that I fail many of these tests. Do you love the lost like God loves? With a chesed love? Jesus commands us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and disciple them. He also said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Where do you stand following Jesus, fishing for souls in the sea of the lost? Thirdly, it should influence our relationships. 1 John 4 verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Most of times when we have challenges in our relationships, it is caused by a lack of love from one or both parties. Maybe it feels like your relationship with your husband or wife or children is breaking apart, and it feels like there are no solutions. Remember then God's chesed love. Love them as God loved us. Let them know that your love is always there, even if they do the ugliest sins against you. Your son or your daughter may rebel against you because you have sinned against him. Don't give up hope. Show constant love towards him, even if he doesn't want it, so that he knows where to find it when he needs it. How do we show this constant love? By listening to them when he speaks without getting angry or feeling hurt, by supporting him with guidance when he asks for it, by caring for him, bringing him his favorite cookies, picking up his dirty clothes, and nursing him when he is sick. If God loves us, so should we love our neighbors and even our enemies. Life is all about relationships. If we discovered that we had 5 minutes left to say all we wanted to say, every person will grab their cell phones calling other people to stammer that they love them. Why wait until the last 5 minutes? Brothers, when you get home from work, look your wife in the eye and tell her that you love her. I don't think I do that always. There's my... but sometimes. Parents, make sure you tell your children that you love them. Most of the time, deeds are worth more than words. Children spells love like this, T-I-M-E, time. Take them for a swim whenever you can. Surprise them during lunch for a quick swim or game of soccer or chess, or go back to work. Play ball with your boys and drink tea with your daughters. Do love. 1 John 4 verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Fourthly, God's love is there for the one who runs to it, the one who embraces it. If you realize this morning that you are a sinner, that you don't know this kind of love, one of those who rebel against God through your unbelief or ignorance, know that God is love. Do not ignore his great love. His love is not cheap. It came at a price. His blood flowed for this kind of love. Come to him and confess your sins. Repent and be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. God's chesed is completed in Christ for you. Brothers and sisters, if you are at that place where you feel alone, depressed, and despondent because of personal, financial, or just life circumstances, know that God's love is there forever. Study his love. Remember his love. Remember Jesus on the cross. Pray and plead with David, Psalm 86. Let God's love dictate your decisions. Let God's love determine the way we behave towards our wives, children, workers, and even our enemies. His love provides the north in our compass. Wynand once preached, and the topic was, when you do not know what to do in difficult circumstances, let your decision be guided by your love for God and your love for people. If you don't know what to do, let your decision be guided by your love for God and your love for people. We find it in the Old Testament, we find it in the Psalms, we find it in the New Testament, and we find it in our daily living. Know that it is true what Paul wrote in Romans 8 from verse 35, and I'm going to read it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't this comforting? To know that God's love is always there, to know that this is true in the midst of all the lies around us. There is certainty in uncertain times. There's truth in the midst of all the lies. There's solid ground in the raging sea, the truth that God is love. I want us to be quiet for a few moments and just think about God's love for you. Just think about it. Just take a moment and think how God loved you. Let us search our hearts and confess if we perhaps forgot how much God loves us, or if we perhaps stopped loving people because they hurt us or sinned against us. Just a few seconds. Lord, as we think about our own lives, we know that we are not perfect because you're the only one who are perfect. You're the only one who can love perfectly and complete. And we see that in the Lamb on the cross. And how we praise you for Jesus Christ that died for our sins. How thankful we are, Lord, and how thankful we are that you are still saving people, that you are still working in our midst, and that your love is there, and it will be there forever and ever and ever. Thank you that we can come like David to this solid ground, and that we can stand on this truth, the truth that you are a loving God, and that your love is incomprehensible. We don't understand it. We don't deserve it. But we are thankful, Lord. Thank you that you revealed it to us. And help us to be obedient to your command to make disciples of all nations. Help us to love like you love, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.